Guru Nation, welcome to episode 788 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I talked to Sabrina Winyon from Clinitude. Sabrina is someone who started out initially as a CRA herself, then a CRO owner, and now she does both, and she does site services. So she empowers sites to outsource some of their services like data entry and things like that, just like a CRO would do. Check out her LinkedIn in the show notes. We get into a lot in this interview. Also, quick shout out to my sponsors, Inado. Inado is an amazing place for studies. You can go on there and get studies for your site. You can go on there and see what's new. Regardless of your PIs, you do need some therapeutic area expertise to get the studies, but once you have that, it's a great resource to add additional studies to your research clinic. So go check it out. Also, I want to shout out my other sponsor, Creo. Creo is an amazing tool for eSource, eReg, CTMS, auto texting, patient recruitment. I mean, it's everything you need for your site, eConsent. We use a lot of the features, maybe almost all of them. But we grew into it, so you only need to pay for what you use. So check out Creo in the show notes. And with that being said, enjoy the episode with Sabrina. Live, Guru Nation. We're live. We got a special one for you guys and gals watching globally around the world. If you're watching later on YouTube or if you're listening later on whatever podcast player you like, Sabrina Winyon, right? She's a CRO, a boutique CRO owner. She's also has a service for sites. So we're going to get into all of that stuff. But we also wanted to get into questions and answers from the audience. So if you're watching right now, we are broadcasting live on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on X, formerly known as Twitter. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Put your comments. Look, it's not that often we get people from CRO companies, like the founders, managing director, willing to talk. And Sabrina's been nice enough. She's also an SOS supporter, Save Our Sites. And she also has a really interesting service that she offers sites, which we're going to get into as well, Clinitude. But I guess let's start with your career, Sabrina. Thank you for coming on. How did you get into research?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me, Dan. So how did I end up in research? So that goes back a long, long time. So I started in 2002, and I was also being part of COA of one of the bigger COOs. That's where it all started. And after some time, I just felt stuck in all the structure. I decided, what do I do? Do I go to another big one, or what do I do? And in 2006, I decided to start Clinitude. And Clinitude is based in Europe and Belgium. And we were first really doing the project management monitoring of studies locally. So I'm talking about countries like Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, France. And then over time, in 2010, something like that, I felt a bit stuck in the growth. We were working for the biggest CROs as subcontractor. So you lose a little bit identity as a small company. And I got stuck in where to find my way. So I ended actually up already at that time in the US going to the conferences. And that was the first time I heard about the risk-based monitoring. And then I was thinking, how can I do this? As a small entrepreneur in Belgium, how can I incorporate that in the company and making sure that we get it out there as well?
For your CRO at this point.
Or the CRO at that point.
Okay, so you
And
heard about risk-based monitoring. You said, you know what? How do I do this for my boutique CRO? And just to give people an idea, like, what's the size? What was or what is the size of the CRO? And like, what kind of studies were you guys doing? Can
Well,
you give us some background?
at that time we had seven CRAs, six to seven CRAs, and we were mainly monitoring phase two, phase three studies, oncology, neurology, these type of studies. Then doing that growth is difficult locally, because also with the big CROs in your local country, they are taking everything. Yeah? So it's finding really a way. And then I decided, we had at that moment also an office in Asia, but only based on programming, IT, these kind of activities. And I said, but why don't I just make use of it and start my clinical operations over there as well? Cost efficient. So I started there. My first CRA that I hired, or the first three that I hired, was very difficult to select, because the first 2 weeks I did not have any applicant at all. So I was like,
wow, no applicant for CRA. That's hard to believe.
Indeed, but I had that, and I was sitting there. Now I'm here in this country, nobody here, what do I do? And the week that I was going to leave back to Belgium, suddenly I had over 70 applicants. Then it was like, okay, and how am I going to select now? I don't need 70 CRAs. And out of the first 10 that I spoke to, the first three of that conversations, of these conversations, are the ones that I hired.
The first three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Still with us. One even moved to Belgium in the meantime. So one is the director of the Asian office. So they've been with us since 2015. So yeah, that was quite an adventure. It was really nice to learn how it works over there. And we started also then with the remote monitoring activities. It's also a nice word to use, the remote monitoring. And we had the opportunity actually to work for one of the bigger device companies. They had a large study, in a stent study with 40,000 patients, and it was a rescue study. So we were able to pick that one up with our remote monitoring activities, and that meant the start and the growth of the office of the operations in Asia as well. Now, of course, working remotely has all its challenges, so that's not always easy. And just before COVID, we were actually asked by a local site in Europe to support them with certain activities. And I was like, okay, we can do that. Also, one of the colleagues that was at the company at that moment, who was actually leading that project and that client, he said, we can do this. We can do this from Asia office, and we can help the site, and we can make sure that we are really focusing on what the site needs and how they need to move forward. With the experience in the remote monitoring and with the resources and the background that we had at that moment, we were able to support that site with all type of activities. The first activities that we did was working with data entry in the CRF, making sure that their backlog was catched up, because they could not start with another study from that same sponsor unless the backlog was catched up. So that was the first activity to do.
So this first project, you were brought as a rescue CRO?
No, that was actually the you interrupted me there, indeed, Dan. The rescue CRO part, yeah.
Rescue CRO.
That was a worldwide study, except US. That was not part of that study. That was also, the stent was not registered in the US. So we were worldwide. We were really in Latin America. We were in Asia. We were in Japan. We were in Europe. We were everywhere. And for all these patients, we worked with our team. We made sure that all the safety reports were written, that all the adjudications were done. We had to catch up with a lot of backlog on monitoring activities, but we also had to catch up with adjudications, with safety adjudications. And then there was the budget of the study, which was really getting cramped because the previous CRO had spent so much money. So one of the questions of the sponsor was also, okay, but what about the budget? We have to stay within the budget. We managed to do so thanks to our team in Asia. We could save costs over there.
Uh-huh.
And that created, of course, ideas. Huh? So you are, as a small company, you are immediately flexible from every angle. From the moment that you have done this, you know, okay, this is what we can do. We can go that direction. And then the question came from that site, which of course was just actually transferring the skills of the remote activities from CRO perspective into how can we help the site. Now, the people that we hire in Asia are people that have been a study coordinator in the past on site locally, that have been working either as a nurse if they have not yet been working in clinical research, and the pharmacists. So they all have actually from hospital side perspective, some kind or type of experience. With our CRO experience, that created also some extra edge to the activity. And we could also support the site and some advice. So it can be strategic advice, can also be, okay, how can you best cover this during an audit, or how can you best discuss this during an audit, or as simple as a contract, how can you make sure that the contract covers enough that you are paid in time? These kind of little advices which can have a big impact for a site. And we started first for that site with a small group of people. I think we were started with 3 FTE, and it became as big as 15 FTE in only less than a year time. Of course, COVID also added up. So we had the COVID time in that period, a lot of COVID studies, so a lot of wash work. So the team was, of course, very beneficial for that site at that moment. We were just there, right timing, right moment. So that piloted for us the site support services. So that was a experience.
I could see how knowing what I know about Clinitude, which we're going to get into, I could see how the CRO experience sparked some of the ideas. Kellen is asking. Kellen's always a supporter. Shout out to you, Kellen. We really appreciate you. What is your approach to team building with CRAs? I think this is critical.
Yeah, and team building with CRAs, we are talking also cultural. So in Europe, this goes differently than in Asia. In Asia, going 1 month without a company outing or without doing something together with the team, that's impossible. It can be as simple as having a marathon for a good, for some charity, as going just out to do some, bonding. It can be just having a drink. In Asia, this is just done. No questions asked. In Europe, it's more conservative. So here, we can do that. We do this once a year, this team building activity. But for us, the challenge is more, how can you get the team of Europe working together with the team in Asia? Because you need to have that relationship to make sure that the things happen. And also, a lot of clients, whether that are sites or whether that are sponsors, they would prefer to have the contact with the people based in Europe when it comes to management level decisions. But then the operational part being done in Asia, that's perfectly okay. But that needs to work as well. So we need to have the people here working, the CRAs and the project managers, need to be able to work together with the team in Asia. So how do we do that? That's also a lot of talking. Team building doesn't mean always going out and having a fun activity. It's also making sure that inside we see, okay, what's the challenge? What was the feedback of that customer? What was the feedback of that customer? Where are you stuck? You need to understand both sides of the culture to make it work. And that's the nice challenge that we actually facing every day. And it's not for everybody. We also have seen people, project managers even, that were not able to handle how the team in Asia was working, because you need to make a switch. You talk different to the people, you adapt your expectations, but then everything will also get done. So that's the beauty of it. Very loyal people in Asia. And that is how we also do team building activities. So team building activities, I can imagine a lot of people saying, yeah, that's the fun outing. It's not only the fun outing. You have to make sure that it works.
Yeah, it's easier said than done. Nina asked, do you take people who are looking for CRA experience, though you are study coordinator based in Africa? What do you actually think about Africa? You know, it's one of the emerging markets, I think, for research is Africa. Yeah. A lot of talent there that I know from my inboxes, and also like from an immigration standpoint in the US. What do you think about this?
Well, Africa has been on my list of wanting to set up the same concept and business model as I have done in Asia. Why? Also to cover the time difference. It's not always easy to cover that with the whole team, because you are working with night and day shift. That's what you have to do. But also language-wise, we have many languages. The team in Asia is based in Philippines, so national language is English. But then here in Europe, we have so many languages, and French is also an important language. So I've already thought about Africa a numerous amount of times. So yes, I would love to have the company started there at a certain moment as well.
Yeah.
You can only do so many things.
Only so many at once, but like a lot of companies are also looking at this outsourcing. Do you think outsourcing, what, like, before we get into Clinitude, outsourcing in general, I mean, it's been done. This is not new. Data management a lot of times is done in other countries, overseas. I'm speaking from a U.S. perspective right now. Data management usually done overseas. I know billing, like some CROs have moved their billing overseas. What are your thoughts on the future of outsourcing? Like, are we really a global economy to where it no longer matters where you work? Or like, are we there yet? Or are we not there yet?
We are not there yet. No, not according to me, but we are not far away from it. Now, Philippines is a country where there is a lot of outsourcing, offshoring. It's their daily life. So it's not a strange country to get it started, to get it done. But the reason why I started this is our experience in operational activities and clinical studies. That is something, it's like you say, you go overseas for data management, you go overseas maybe for contracting or these administrative stuff. But did anybody ever go overseas to really have the support in data entry, to have the support in writing SOPs, to being part of the clinical team and really setting all these procedures up and making sure that the quality comes from the data where it comes from, and that's from the site?
So having a global market for everything, data entry, which is one of the things, I mean, Clinitude, I guess we can discuss Clinitude now, because knowing the CRO background, it makes sense why you started this. What gave you the idea with Clinitude? Like, what was it, a particular component of the CRO, or what was it?
At that moment when I started Clinitude, honestly, it was just me not wanting to be an employee anymore. I was too ambitious. I was really an ambitious person. And at that time, the CROs, that was still the time that we had the paper CRFs. That was still that time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I cannot move. You know, it's you're stuck and you want to move further. But each time something else came in between. And I was not a person that wanting to do the hopping to all these other companies that were out there at that time. I think it was still PPD, Innovex at that time, Quintiles, so these type of companies. And I really decided, okay, the COA work I can do on my own. I'm just going to do it, and we will see where we end up.
So you're the what would be the monitor?
Yeah. And I started then in May 2016, and I know the last week of my notice period then, I did not have any assignment. So I was like, oh my God, what did I do? Oh, no, I don't have anything. What do I do now? And then I think it was 2 days before the end of my notice period, one of the local CROs invited me. They had an intensive care study. And they needed extra support. And so the Monday after my last notice period, I started with them. So first I had 6 weeks nothing. I had a 6 weeks notice period. And then in the last 2 days of my notice period, I got the first assignment as then an independent COA working on the clinical team. And it flies. From the moment that I got started, it was going like crazy. I think 2 months later, I had another project where I was monitoring in the UK for several months. And then in January the next year, in 2017, I hired the first employee because I had so much work. And I had to constantly say no to clients. And at that moment, it was looking like, do I constantly say no? What kind of impression do I give? Or am I going to change? And am I going to hire people? So not an easy decision to make. I made it. I hired the first person. I regretted that within a few months. So
why?
Well, he was not performing. Suddenly, you know, the CRA.
What did you hire? You hired a CRA or what was the role?
Oh, it was actually, I hired a CRA, but it was somebody with a background as a study coordinator in a hospital. So, yeah. So you needed to, because I was a one-man show, I needed to have a person that had some experience in clinical research. Finding that CRA was difficult, but study coordinators that want to move to a CRA role, that was a bit easier. Mm-hmm. And so that was the person I hired, but he loved his freedom so much that at a certain moment, I found out through the customers that work was not done. And I built the work because, for me, he went to a site, he performed monitoring, but apparently this was not done. He was enjoying the sun in his garden, apparently.
It's the QA checks. I mean, no. Life as a business owner is never done. Like, indeed. You always have layers to watch, layers, redundancy, make sure. And when you're starting out brand new, you know, you're relying on one or two people to do all these roles. And those first hires are critical hire.
Yeah. And that's definitely true what you say. The first lesson I learned, QC, QA, it's always important. It doesn't matter how long you are there.
No.
We even notice it now. We also have in the site support, we have a whole QC process. Even in other activities that we do really as a CRO, there is this QC process. But each time it became a more fixed activity within the company, because it's really needed. It's really needed. That's absolutely true.
Wow. Okay, so first hire, not a good one.
Yeah, that was it.
So what happened then?
You have to learn. It's just by doing and by making mistakes that you learn. Yeah. So what happened at that time in Belgium, there was still a kind of, when you hired a person, you had a kind of trial period. Of 6 months. That was a legal part of the contract. You can then, if the person is not performing, you can fire them on the spot. And I did that, of course. I could not risk losing any more credibility as well, because we were at that moment still having additional projects. I hired the next one.
And that Sam, was really CRC.
No, that was really a CRA coming from a CRO. Yeah.
Do you think CRCs can make good CRA? Or like, do you think you just had one bad example? But like,
that was just one bad example. Okay. In Philippines, we have several CRCs, and one of them now recently was promoted to clinical operations manager. So no, definitely possible. I am convinced, honestly, and I had it as a CRA as well. As long as you know what is happening on site, you can also be a good CRA. But you need to know how it works. You need to know if the patient enters the hospital, what happens not only with the patient, but also how is the patient received? How is the team dealing with the study team on site dealing with the patient? It's something that I always believed in, also as a CRA. That is something that we need to know. We need to know how it works.
Kellen is asking a couple things. So what was the first thing that let you know the work wasn't done? Was it during an audit or was it the site complaining? How did you know? What was your first suspicions that things was not done?
At that time, we were still faxing. I don't know if a lot of people still know what a fax.
Some of my staff don't even know how to use this.
Indeed. But at that time, there was still a fax existing. And he was in the office. Well, the office was actually in my home. So these people were working in my home. And I was thinking, but what is this guy doing? He's printing and he's faxing. And what is he doing? And that appeared to be reports that needed to be ready the week before. So I jumped on okay, what's going on? What are you doing? And he just admitted what he has been doing. It was just me catching on an activity what he's doing in the office, which was strange for somebody who was responsible for only one study. It was not matching what he was doing.
To print this much paper for one thing, one task, but yes, ended up that he was actually catching up on all the previous work that he didn't do. Kellen says, the difficulty in coming from CRC to CRA is realizing that you don't have a principal investigator looking over your shoulder. That really does get a lot of us who make that jump.
Yeah,
probably so. But you definitely learned from this. So you started thinking, you know, there's probably a better way to go about this.
Mm. But still, I like the comment that Kellen has now. I think if that is really a problem for certain CRCs, then indeed you should better go to a bigger CRO, because then you have, of course, a closer management. I, at that time, I was monitoring myself. It was, you hire for a reason also a person with some experience, but it became micromanagement in the end. And I hate micromanagement as well. So
me too, yeah. But do you believe that micromanagement, I also hate it, but do you believe that still needs to be done somehow? Or yeah, I mean, we hate it, but I feel like in research especially, still needs to get done. Like, you empower your staff, even as a site, you empower your staff, but then you try to have redundancies in place to where you can catch it if it's not getting done, because people are humans. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not even just laziness, it's just they have so much, but
mistakes, for me, that's fine. I prefer that the people make mistakes, because then they learn from it. I also like if they make a mistake that they take the responsibility, they own it, and that they want to resolve it. I like that. I like that attitude. What I don't like is people that are not reaching out if they need help, because sometimes you just don't notice. Eh? Sometimes it's just like they are doing the stuff and they sometimes seem busy, but are they busy? Do they know what they are doing?
Yeah.
don't always realize. It's sometimes perceived like, okay, this person is doing good, and then suddenly a clash of problems and I don't know what. I do think that micromanagement is still needed, but do you do it for the negative things or do you do it for the positive things? Sometimes micromanagement is also needed to bring your staff to the next level. It's so nice if you can bring your team to that next level. I love seeing that. I love it when I see them growing in what they do. I really like that.
I think you're right. Mistakes are not the issue. It's the issue is the
ones that do it on purpose. That are the ones that you don't want to have in the company.
Yeah, exactly right. So then this experience gave you the ideas, you know what? There's still got to be a better way to go about it. And how did that end up evolving into Clinitude?
Well, there was a bigger CRO. That was called i3 Research at that time.
And I remember,
And they had an office in the Netherlands, and they were having a lot of oncology studies in Belgium. But they did not have any office in Belgium. They did not have any staff in Belgium. And actually, the country manager said to me, or the European manager said to me, you know what, Sabrina? If you can find the COAs, then the jobs, the studies are for you. And so I said, okay, yes, of course, I'm going to grab that opportunity. And indeed, I hired 3 additional COAs just to work for them alone. And that lasted for several years. Of course, suddenly then the CRO business was growing as well, of course, also for these bigger ones. So I think after 3 to 4 years, I think that collaboration slowly ended. Then it also gave me more of a strength to go out there. Okay, we have a team that has experience, we can work through several studies. It was really like a tough group of COAs just working together and helping the sites and making sure that everything works, doing a lot of feasibilities, you know, these terrible questionnaires that they had in the past, these 10 pages questionnaires that we were sending out to all the sites. we did that as well. Mm-hmm. But we had fun, you know, it was really nice. We were seven ladies just having some fun. And yeah.
It's interesting fun. So ultimate, were you seven ladies in this one location, all in one place?
Yeah, all in my house.
On your house, still in your house.
Yes. I think we moved out in 2010 after tax control.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're running like a little monitoring business out of the house. Yeah. How does that, because that's like the opposite of outsourcing. Like everything literally is in your house. I mean,
yes.
How do you go from that to Clinitude?
Well, it's different. It's a completely different mindset. I like the one thing that we had the small group of people really monitoring the clinical studies here in the local countries. Also getting to know them, getting to know the studies, gaining more experience and gaining more knowledge. But compared to what Clinitude is now, I like the growth in being able to do more. There is always when you are ambitious, there is always this moment that you want to do more. Sometimes you have to step back a little bit, but then you can do more. And I think what I like now is a combination. We have people here locally also really doing some monitoring activities, but at the same time we are working globally with all the remote team and the Belgian team together. I think that is really a nice concept. It's also a bit non-traditional, I would say, but that is also not always easy to sell. Eh? If it's non-traditional, it's not always easy to sell.
Eh? Right. And selling is so important in this industry. We're going to get to the services you offer sites right now, but just wanted to wrap up the one more question from Kellen regarding the CRO. So did you get the studies while they were in startup, and how was running oversight and handling studies with little to no support or personnel?
We got indeed studies in startup. In the early days, this was not so. There was the CRO handling the startup. We were of course doing submissions to the ethics committees and things like that. That part of the startup we did, but it was mainly focused on local project management and local really monitoring activities on site. That was in the first early years. After I think around 2009, 2010, we had the first pharma company that we really had a bigger study. And then of course you are also involved in a little bit protocol development, advice on how to set up the protocol. So you get more activities once that they have more confidence in you. So now of course we do a study with strategic advice. We select countries, we advise on which country to go. This is, of course, a complete different setup. Now we do it from A to Z. How do we do oversight? Of course, we are now a bigger company, so we have now people doing oversight as well. What we also do, and that's maybe also interesting to know, we have a very integrated approach. So not only with site support, but also in the CRO business, meaning that we work really closely together with the sponsors. And that can mean that our team also has email addresses of the sponsors, that is familiar with the procedures of the sponsors. They work together with other teams of the sponsors. So let's say that we do the remote monitoring, the project management, and the on-site monitoring. But data management is, for example, being done by the sponsor. Then our team has really learned how to work together. If the team is based in Philippines, we also ask the team to come to Europe to work together with the sponsor for some time. So we really make sure that there is an integrated model. These customers are also with us for more than five to 10 years, actually. So that's a really nice concept.
I see.
So for us, it's not really like sponsor, you are there, outsource that study to us, we do it from A to Z. No, we prefer to have that connection, because In a lot of CROs, you have these silos. You have that department doing this, another department doing that. But somewhere in this channel, communication is missed. also with the sponsor that they have.
Right.
And how can you avoid that? As a small company, you can really easy play with that. And that is when you go with this integrated approach. So you are working really close together with the sponsor. We have now set up a stand study in Europe, for example. It just started. And we do the project management. We do the monitoring activities on site and remotely. Data management and medical team is from the sponsor, but when it comes to medical team, our team is also writing the safety reports. And they all work together, so they have cross-functional meetings together with the sponsor's team, weekly, monthly, and that works really well. That works.
It makes sense to me, knowing what Clinitude offers, because you've essentially built this infrastructure, a global infrastructure, more or less, to support your CRO services.
Yeah.
And now you're bringing this same capabilities to sites, if they want, right?
Indeed.
Now it makes sense. It's important that we get the story, because now it makes sense why Clinitude even exists, right? Without having to ask you, it makes sense. But is that accurate, do you think?
Yes, yes. And the red thread or the red line in the whole story is that I believe in not one size fits all. I don't have the ambition to become a next Thermo Fisher, to become a next IQVIA. That's not...
No, you don't. What? No, that's ridiculous.
No, no, I don't want to. Because then you start complaining with SOS about my company.
That's right. That's right.
No, our ambition is really where there is a need, we want to help. And we can do that. We have enough experience in-house. I don't have 200 headcounts. That's true. But I have enough headcounts to do a project from the beginning to the end, whether that's from site perspective or whether that's from CRO perspective. We have also our connections. If there is something really special that we need to do, then we also have our vendors that we can speak to. But is it needed? With our site support services, for example, we can also build a platform for a site. We can also build a CTMS. We have programmers in-house. We can do that. But why would we do that? Why? Because there are so many platforms already out there. If I want to work integrated with the sites, then our team needs to be able to work with the systems that the site is using.
I see.
And that is what we want to achieve. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So it's basically sites that want to outsource.
Yeah.
Just like you did in your story.
Yes.
As a CRO, you know, sites usually don't think in that regard. Everything is local. Although I do know some sites, shout out to Rod Raphael, his in Indianapolis. His recruiter lives in Florida, has been his recruiter for years, maybe decades, does all his recruitment campaigns from Florida. There's been other sites that have hired outsourced people overseas to enter data. But it's nice to go to one place to take care of it rather than you having to find. So what kind of services do you guys see sites outsourcing mostly?
Well, the first question is always the data entry. That's like the first thing that pops up their mind. Every conversation I already had with a site, data entry. Recently, I had some conversations where also pre-screening recruitment pops up. It's also something, also because the team is based in Philippines, they speak American English, that's their national language. That makes US also a very good market for us to go to with the site support services. And we recently signed a contract with one of the site networks, and the first activity is, of course, the data entry. We do this together. We have this QC process in place. So it's like we do already, the data is being entered. We do already a quality check, making sure that everything is okay, so that the COA has not too much to do on site as well, so that they don't bother the site too much. But then the second question they had was, can you also help us? We are moving from paper source to e-source. So yeah. How can we do that? That our team is handling actually the papers and entering it or transferring it to the e-source system. That are now the first questions. Secondly, that will come is, or thirdly, that will come, I know that already, that will be the SOPs. How can you help us develop the SOPs in a better way?
Develop in a better way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it also has to do with the growth of a site network. Where are they at what stage are they? Where do they want to go? Are they investors? Is it still an independent site? What is their status? And I think the question always depends on where they are.
What's your typical client look like as far as a site? Like what size of a site? On average for you?
On average, it was actually more or less, a little bit more than you. I think it's a site with around 15 to 25 studies. That is more the independent research site. And now it's the first time that we signed a few weeks ago a contract with a bigger network with 19 sites. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only have like 7 this year. Hopefully we can get 10 before the year's over. Mm-hmm. But those are pretty big size sites, I would say. So are these sites that are exhausted their internal resources, or they just see this as better value add for their coordinators to do things besides data entry and pre-screening? And
well, I think for this site network, then the main reason to work with us was that their study coordinators were overloaded, and hiring extra staff had a huge impact on their cost structure. So they needed to find a way, and that are the two reasons. So you have staff that is actually complaining too much work, but then they are stuck with hiring extra staff. What would then be a good solution? And because we look also at the cost and the cost efficiency, it was a match, actually. We had 2 good conversations, and then there was already a contractor. So it was really fast.
It sounds like they needed the service
ASAP. Indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting to consider some of these things, because there's definitely a need for this. And there's a need for, I was even telling you on the Zoom, there's a need for, and I think it is like the more established sites that are at the mature level of, hey, we don't want to mess with our current cost structure because we have the numbers work already. CROs outsource, sponsors outsource, why not sites? And it's been honestly a question we've asked ourselves for decades, like why not? And now it's actually possible and you don't have to do anything yourself. You have a company that does it for you.
Yes, indeed. And one thing is actually strange, Dan. If you look at the setup in the US, you know how many companies are making use of the call centers in the Philippines?
Almost all of them. Yeah.
And even doctors and insurance companies. And so it's like, why is it not existing in clinical research? Of course, you need to have the experience. Huh? So we have the experience, the experience in the industry that is not existing. Huh? So you don't have any outsourcing company from that perspective that has experience in clinical research. They can maybe do some data entry, but are they trained? We also have trained staff. They have GCP certificates, ISO certificates. They have it all. Huh? And that is also what you need. Huh? As a site, you also have to make sure that the service provider that you are working with also has the certificates in place. So they need to know that our team, do they have the GCP certificates? If it is a device, is the ISO certificate in place? It's all there, and they get refresher trainings and everything. So that is also something that you need to take care of as a site, not just hiring a kind of call center or outsourcing company, just doing the stuff. You have to prove, because these people, our people, are also part of the delegation log of the site.
Right.
So you have a responsibility as a site owner, as a PI. This is a person part of my team, although this person is located overseas. it's part of my team, and we need to make sure that this person has the same, the minimum, same qualifications as that is expected from my team on site. So,
No, it's really good. It's really cool how you built this initially for your CRO and your monitoring issues and challenges, and how you quickly saw, hey, this is also for sites too, and why not? And there's no one else doing this that you're aware of?
It's in the same way. I think you have CROs that are doing site support, but more like sending a person physically to the site to help out.
Sites don't like that.
No, I know. I know.
Sites don't like that. But this is something different, because this, I know sites are already doing this themselves.
Yes.
But they feel strange about it. They feel like they have to hide it, you know. And I think with a company like Clinitude, you're demystifying this.
Yes.
Maybe you're normalizing it in a way where it's like, you don't have to feel bad if you're a site that's doing this. Because I know site owners that have done this for years, but they have to go find the connections. When things like Odesk came out and Fiverr, you would try to hire. I've never gone that far as finding a dead entry. I've always used it, like I told you on our Zoom, as a good entry-level training for a future coordinator. But there are platforms where you can do it, but at the end of the day, it's work. It's not standardized. Who has time to do all this? Yeah. And you've created the infrastructure where you can just plug into it if you want.
And you know, it would also be interesting for sponsors, how they want to work with sites. Because what we have done once, we did not run the study because it was a bit too eccentric. But we were asked for a women's health study and to make a proposal. And US was also a part of it, Europe and the US. We had at that moment, I had already started with the business development, getting in contact with the sites in the US and everything. So we approached a few of the sites, but also a network in Europe. Because we could, in one country in Europe, we could really find the patients, but I did not have a monitor over there. So then a sponsor would already ask, but if you don't have a COA over there, you have to work with a contractor, and how are you handling this? So I could already see all these questions.
Yeah.
And what did we do in the bid defense? We really took a really hybrid approach for that country where we would have the patients to boost the recruitment. We agreed with that site network that our site support team would do the work, data entry, the QC, so that we were sure for the sponsor that the data that was entered, everything was correct, but also within a certain period of time. Because sites don't always have the time to do it within 24 hours. Right. Our team tries to do it within the 24 to 48 hours. And that was something that the sponsor was a bit sensitive about. So I found that such a good solution. It was so atypical in the industry. And I thought, the sponsor is young people, they are up for it. No, it was not traditional. It was not that I have CRAs in that country that could go to the site every 2 weeks. That's what they wanted to see. While we had a completely different approach to make sure that the recruitment was there, because we did a kind of survey. We did not do a classic feasibility. We really checked with the sites that we knew well, okay, what can you deliver with these criteria? Mm-hmm. And then we looked, we really balanced like, okay, this country is really good for boosting recruitment, but how do we handle it? Because we are not present there. And they did not like the idea, which was strange. Because it could create a good recruitment.
Yeah.
So what, they went.
Was it a big sponsor or a small one?
It was a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. That's typically what I've found as well, is the bigger ones tend to not want to try newer things. But if you can position it properly, but this seems like a kind of a radical leap for them to make. But indeed, it starts, the innovation always started with the smaller companies until it becomes the new norm.
Indeed.
And that's really cool that you're offering sites this. So if people want to get a hold of you, Sabrina, your LinkedIn is underneath. Sabrina, go connect with her. If you're listening to this later, go connect with her on LinkedIn. If you're watching this on YouTube later, same thing. Go connect on LinkedIn. And she's with Clinitude and helping sites outsource certain capabilities and make their processes more efficient. So thank you very much, Sabrina, for coming on and sharing a little bit about your story. And I think that the story was helpful in seeing the evolution of Clinitude.
Thank you, Dan. And I also listened to your live session with Brad and on Tuesday on the recruitment topic.
Ah, recruitment. Man, I've done too many lives.
Yeah, you do too many lives. But you were talking together about, should we hire an admin, yes or no? Do we have...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yep. I'm thinking of hiring an admin. I know. Yeah. Your thing is like, I think for certain owners, it depends what the owner likes. Like, it goes back to what we said. I don't like micromanaging, but you still need it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's something I do. Like, QA, I think we do outsource. For us, we have our CRA Academy, so we give, like, the best couple students the opportunity to do that. Yeah. We've kind of built, like, a not the same thing as you at all, but, like, a similar infrastructure to where it serves our own needs. But in your case, like a lot of sites that don't have these kind of things, right?
Yeah,
and they are able to outsource some of these. Like admin is next, I think, for me. And I think the admin pre-screen schedule, I think this is interesting stuff, though.
And I think you mentioned also like the admin actually, what does the admin need to do? Because in the end, if you have an admin for the screening activities or the pre-screening, it's actually to get your leads in. What then afterwards if the project stops? So we need more like a generalist. And I was like, yeah, but I have a person that can do the admin. I have a person that can do the ETMF. I have a person that can do So you can find it at Clinitude. And that would be indeed for several sites a good solution if they are open for that.
Yeah, no, I do think so. I really do think so. I think people need to learn more and get a hold of you if they want to learn more information about it, because it is a big decision and it's very foreign to a lot of people, but I think it's being normalized and I think it's actually a good thing because it makes the sites more efficient. So I appreciate Sabrina, you for coming on, and everybody go connect with Sabrina, and if you have more questions, feel free to ask her.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on.
Yes, and thank you for having me, Dan. It was really nice.
Yeah, but thank you.
Was it your first international live now? Are you always national?
No, we've done a lot of international. No, but maybe the first this year.
Okay, so I'm still
the first this year. Yeah. The first one this year. But thank you, Sabrina. We really appreciate it. And a lot of the comments seem to be saying the same thing. So.
Yeah.
Get a hold of Sabrina, guys. This is something you might want to do to improve your site.
Yes. And to answer this last question of Galen, yes, there was definitely a successful increase in annual leads and less screen failures. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's good outcomes.
I can share numbers there as well. So we have a fact sheet where we share numbers on what we have done, also mainly during the pilot project. So how many source documents we verified, how many queries we resolved, how we handled the CRF data entry, how it had an impact on the site's recruitment, but also on the site staff. So we have these numbers. If somebody wants to have it, we can share that. So.
There you go, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sabrina. I really appreciate it. And it'd be interesting to follow the company here and see how this evolves over time.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, everybody. Like, subscribe, comment, share. Catch you all later. Bye-bye.
Bye.